My Talkers, thanks for hanging out with us on this first Friday of 2022. We've got all things ahead for you. A lot of great things ahead here. We've got New Music Friday, the first one in a few weeks, which should be a lot of fun. We've got a little Rocco's coming in for our happy hour jukebox trivia today. So
that's right, and they let me and Stephanie come back on the air today.
And that's the beauty, Stephanie.
They were very limited yesterday. There might have been something about a hairy pie hole that misinterpreted, you know, something like that. But anywho, yes, very, very glad that it's Friday. Although, once again, I feel my dancing plans have been wrecked by Madame COVID. She's a biatch.
Yes, she is.
And we're all sick of her and her ways.
What were your dancing plans? A little Mancini's?
Go to Mancini's because I heard that music was back and everything. And Casey was like, hell no, we're not going to Mancini's. He's very, you know, I'm very much, I'm boosted, I'm vaxxed.
He's already had the boost, the shots.
Yeah, I know. And I think he might
and
have
potentially
had COVID.
COVID.
Yeah, we don't know.
See, I wish he would know because there is.
In his head, he knows. So I keep telling him, you know, now, you know, don't even worry about
it. I feel like I got to get out of jail free card for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled.
I feel like I got out of jail free when I got vaccinated. And listen, I'm an Air Force brat. I mean, we went overseas, and when we lived overseas, it was shot day on the first day of school because we had to get cholera and we had to get malaria shots back then. I mean, we lived in Japan and the Philippines, so these were countries that had different. So we just lie. I mean, so
yeah,
I
you
am
just
very,
got your shots.
Yeah, I'm very, you know, military that way. Like we just went there, but so I've been feeling like, you know that, but I really haven't been worried about it. And Casey, because he's home, this is my theory, people are at home more, catastrophize more a little bit because they've got more time on their hand. Maybe they're listening to more important podcasts or got the TV on or reading more stories and whatever they're reading in, but they've just got more time on their hands to have things, you know, go around. I don't have that kind of time.
I feel like this is a little judgy.
Well, no, it isn't judgy. It's just, it is a fact.
He's just scared.
He's
from, the catastrophizing thing is real.
That is
all
it is.
You know, like the bird 100%. Flu, I
catastrophized
in a closet
over the bird flu, but
I had a tub full of water at Y2K.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. It's not like Casey to catastrophize, but he is, you know, he has asthma, so he really didn't want to get the one that went to your lungs and stuff. And I'm like, even though, I mean, you know, does a man with, you know, 6% body fat have to worry about things like this?
Well, you would be surprised.
All right.
You would be surprised.
Okay, well, motion is lotion. I went to Pilates
Excuse
today.
Excuse me?
Yeah, motion is
what
lotion.
What is lotion?
Motion,
she puts
Stephanie.
The lotion in the basket or she gets the hose.
But no, but you do know that moving your body, that motion is like your natural lotion in your body. That's why you gotta.
I've never heard it put that way, but I really like that because I'm
like
a big mover.
Yeah, motion.
Five
is
times
lotion.
A week, I do classes or something. I've been back at it. My first year of COVID, I just sat on my couch and then I got a herniated disc because I wasn't doing anything.
No, we have to move. And I went to a wonderful Pilates class today and I was just thinking, you know, it's a good thing I've got a pretty strong pelvis.
I was going to say your triangle.
Triangle is good because, I mean, if that goes, Casey and I are literally going to be screwed. You know, the same. That'd be a real problem.
Well, you learn to make
you
do.
Know? But, I mean, you do have to, like, those Pilates, those classes that are more, they're not as intense, but maybe you're doing more.
They're micro-muscles.
Micro-muscles.
Bar.
Oh,
nothing makes you more sore than a bar class.
Yeah, and then kind of lifting up and then concentrating and all that stuff. And the whole time, you know, I'm doing, you know, my little wings to the right and the wings and the turns, the windmills and all this other stuff. I just keep thinking, motion is lotion.
I like that.
Motion is lotion. It's all good because that's how you stiffen up.
Yeah. No, when the COVID thing and I wasn't exercising because I was afraid to go to the gym. And then spring came and I started gardening.
Yeah.
And boom. Yeah. And I was down for 8 weeks and my once you herniate a disc, it never really goes all the way back.
Yeah.
So now I'm in constant just maintenance and management.
Right.
And
I remember being quite shocked, though, when I found out that, you know, it seemed like maybe like my mid-40s, and I just was like not as bendy and twisty as I used to be. And I just took it for granted.
Yeah. Well, and that, like, just the movement and exercise and any kind of movement you're doing, like, I have slipped already this winter, like, twice. Yeah. You know, nothing ruins your life more than, like, slipping on the ice and really hurting yourself. But if you're constantly moving and twisting in different ways, when you fall, you're more agile and you're more able to get yourself back up.
Yeah. Well, look, I did.
I can't stop thinking about Carrie.
Who's Carrie? Oh, Carrie. Oh, from Just Like That. Can you believe that show?
It felt real strange. I watched the whole thing. I finished it last night.
You mean, so you've watched the 6 episodes?
I watched them all, yeah. Okay. First of all, there was a whole real weird scene about her having to pee in a jar, which was like, this would never happen.
No, I know.
She would never do that.
No, I know. Here, you know what? In a nutshell, what I feel like, and I'm watching it once a week, like every Thursday morning, and, you know, and I, of course, expected and wanted and hoped for so much more. But I guess the thing, because there have been little moments of, oh, you know, but the thing that bothers me the most about this show, about this group of 50-something women, is it doesn't, it shows so few of the fabulous perks of the bleep it 50s, and it focuses so much on physical decline, confusion.
And it's all they talk about.
And cultural estrangement. And so they're unrecognizable from their former selves. And that's not my experience with 50s. That's the funnest chapter of my life so far.
Well, I love that you say that. I don't know if I'd say it's my funnest chapter, but
fear not. It's so much fun because there's so many perks.
There is a lot of letting go of stuff that you used to obsess
over.
It's
wonderful. It's just wonderful. And you have maybe usually more money. They don't show any of the perks. And I thought for a show that showed all the perks and the over the top of what it could be to choose a career and be single and live in the city, they showed all this outrageous fun. Where's the outrageous
fun
in this?
There wasn't any fun in this episode. None. Like, legit
there's very
none.
Little fun.
The outfits were maybe...
I love the plastic surgeon. I did like that whole thing.
But he even, like, you couldn't tell, like...
Yeah, I know.
She should have, like, leaned over and kissed him.
Yeah, no, I know. And where's Aiden? We're running out of time.
And that guy was from...
He's from another show.
It was the serial killer show. It was super good.
Jonathan Goff is his name.
2 episodes of it... And it was the, like, beginnings of how they started the FBI and the serial profiling.
Yeah, that's how I know that guy. The
Profiler it was such a good show. Yeah, I can't remember. It started with an M. I'll think of it.
Okay,
but it was great.
All right, Grant, I know we got to go. We're very late. So we will go and we'll be right back with our story we can't get enough of. And, of course, that is Lulu. That is the lead, the song to the movie To Sir With Love, which starred Sidney Poitier about this inner city and his school in London. I mean, it was such a great...
He was a great teacher.
Great teacher, coming of age. And I think for, people that just... That song was such a huge, huge hit. That movie was huge. And
when those credits roll and that... starts playing.
You're bawling.
You are.
You're bawling.
And my husband can barely get through that movie without sobbing at least a couple times.
It holds up, and I fully expect TCM will maybe next weekend they'll run all the Sidney Poitier classic movies with a story about it.
How do you get
it.
That anymore?
I don't know.
Is
I
it
have
on
it
your
on
cable?
My cable.
Okay.
Yeah, I have my cable. And so he passed away at the age of 94. So. Bohemian American man, good long life. If you go on Twitter and stuff, anybody who you admire, follow Oprah, Ava DuVernay, Dionne Warwick, people are just paying tribute to him.
Did you ever see the movie that he was in? Kurt made me watch it, and it was so good, called Lilies of the Field.
That's what he won an Oscar for.
That
movie is fantastic. He won an Oscar in 1964. He was
so
the first
good.
Black man to win an Oscar. And he also, you know, my grandma, my dad's mom, loved him. She thought he was just dreamy. And I remember watching this movie, A Patch of Blue, with her.
Huh.
And I must have been like, I don't know, maybe fourth grade.
Right.
And that's where he plays a teacher, and this blind white girl falls in love with him, and her mom is Shelley Winters, as this really awful racist mom.
Shelley Winters.
And she wins an Oscar for this,
yeah.
A Patch of Blue. That's another Sidney Poitier movie that's very, you know, he did so many movies that explored racial tensions.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of In the Heat of the Night with
yep.
Rod Steiger. I hadn't seen that movie. I don't think I'd ever seen it. And I think sometime during last winter, Casey's like, we have to watch this movie. And it was phenomenal.
I'm going to watch that too. I'm writing all these down.
Yeah. And I would love to see Lilies of the Valley again. And
Lilies of the Field.
Lilies of the Field, excuse me. And then To Sir with Love, I'd watch that again. And guess who's coming to dinner?
That was a good one too.
Hepburn and Sydney, or Spencer Tracy.
Yes. I was trying to think of his name.
And yeah, he was really had an incredible career.
He was so
dreamy.
Wise.
Well,
and so dignified and classy.
Yeah.
And you'd hear him talk about race relations. Mm-hmm. You'd hear him talk about his career,
mm-hmm.
about some of the obstacles that he faced, and just poised and just a really lovely, lovely man.
Yeah. Remember 4 years ago, he got an honorary Oscar.
He did.
And Denzel talked to, I mean, it was like really, and he came there and we were like, damn, he's like 90 and mm-hmm. he's looking so great. And his wife of 45 years survives him, as well as 6 children from 2 marriages. And he's got great grandchildren and grandchildren. But I would like to revisit some of those movies, but I just remember watching A Patch of Blue with my grandma. Oh, and another one that he was in. Okay, this one is the one that started him. Well, he'd already been having an affair, but there's this movie called Paris Blues, and it's filmed in Paris. It is, he and Diane Carroll are magic in this
movie.
Oh, she's
beautiful too.
And his character, again, race, he talks about, as a black man, how free he is in Europe.
Yep.
As opposed to America. So you see that, and it's a wonderful performance, and he's so romantic in the movie. And I feel like that movie was sometime in the 60s, but he got married young to his first wife, and Juanita, and they had 4 daughters. And he met Diane Carroll in the musical movie Porgy and Bess in 1959. And they basically had an affair. She was also married to her manager for all of the 1960s. They made this movie, Paris Blue, Blues together. They were at the Academy Awards in 1964, the night he won. And they were photographed together, and everyone knew they were having an affair. And in her memoir, Diane Carroll, The Legs Are the Last to Go is the name of her memoir, if you're wondering. She wrote that in 1963, he promised her he would leave his wife for her if she would divorce her husband and move into this condo. And she divorced her husband and moved into the condo. And then
he
10-room apartment. He phoned. He said, I can't leave my wife. I can't leave my daughters. And then he had the locks changed on the apartment on Riverside Drive in New York. And until she like paid him, because he'd made the, paid it. And
that's terrible.
Well, you know, it was love, but he did finally split from her and his wife in 1965. And then he told Diane, I don't want to jump right into another marriage.
A dog.
So then she started dating other men, and then there was some tabloid things, and he got very upset, and they eventually forgave each other and everything, but she told it all in her memoir, The Legs Are the Last
to Go. So all through the 60s, so even 66, 7, 8, 9,
yep.
Okay?
Yep, they finally broke up, and he wed his second wife, you know, a few years after that, and had 2 children with her, and they were together for 45 years.
Huh.
So, yeah, it was never right timing. for he and Miss Diane Carroll, who, of course, is, you know, fabulous.
Yeah, was that's fabulous. Pretty scandalous. Good scandal.
Well, yeah, just, you know, not to bring everything up, but it's part of his history. And it's also a way to just get people to watch that movie Paris Blues.
Yeah.
So
I wrote them all down. A Patch of Blue, In the Heat of the Night, Paris Blues, Lilies of the Field, To Sir with Love.
Yeah. I love Dionne Warwick. She tweeted this. She wrote on Twitter, Sydney once caught me following him. He said, "Little girl, what do you want?" I muttered, "Can I have your autograph?" From that day, he always called me little girl and asked me if I wanted his autograph. It was something we laughed about. He was my hero and great friend. May he rest in peace.
Aw.
I know.
It's hard to lose friends.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, just he really has quite an acting career. He really, that In the Heat of the Night, and oh my gosh, Shelley Winters in that Patch of Blue, just she was just mean as an old
Shelley Winters in Titanic. I can't get her out of my mind in that.
Yeah, and that movie was nominated like for a gazillion Oscars. Ugh. A Patch of Blues based on a book. So anyway, rest in peace, legend. That's three in 1 week, you guys. Betty White, Peter Bogdanovich.
It always comes in threes.
And Sydney, but, you know, Sydney 94, hopefully just dying to sleep.
I hope so, too. Yeah.
All right, listen, we'll be back. I love that Elvis song. Muti, if you're listening, we're doing a special Elvis segment just for you today, because tomorrow, January 8th, would have been Elvis's.
So did him and David Bowie have birthday. Their birthday on the same day?
That's right. Are they both January 8th?
Well, let me look.
Yeah.
David Bowie's birthday is this weekend.
Yeah. Well, don't go stamping on my Elvis Presley with David Bowie right now, although we will play Heroes,
because that mean, is a come great on. Song.
Come on. And he has an Elvis connection in that his last album, he named Dark Star, which Elvis starred in a movie called Dark Star.
Huh.
That apparently David Bowie was a fan of. Because, of course, you know, all those British guys loved Elvis.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they loved Elvis. He changed everything. So my mom was a teenager in the 50s. And so she loved Elvis very much.
I loved him, but I came to him late with the Suspicious Mind tour. Was like, I mean, I remember Elvis, of course, but
yeah.
Elvis died when my sister, the summer my sister was killed.
Oh,
so
no.
It was kind of a tragic, like, weird time.
Geez.
And I remember just thinking, oh, and now Elvis has died. Now, you know? Just very memorable in my mind.
Oh my gosh, 1977.
Yeah, that was the
summer
year.
Of 77. Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, Stephanie. That is really something that happened to you. Like, that was a before and after moment early in your life.
Oh, so much so for my family. Like, we just never were the same.
Never the same. Mm-mm.
My sister was 18 and I was 12.
Oh my gosh, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Geez.
But,
well,
it, you know, again, you...
You deal with whatever, you know, your life is kind of comes your way. It's
and however... I, when my mom... This is kind of sad, but when my mom died, it gave me a lot of comfort for my mom. Because in my mind, whether you're spiritual or not, I had this idea that they'd have this reunion, and it made it easier for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it had been a long time.
Yeah. Right.
And my mom still was very sad about it.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. I can't imagine. Well, look at Betty White's last word.
I didn't know what her last word was.
Alan.
Yeah.
Is that her daughter? Or no, her husband. Wait, her last word was Alan?
Alan. Like, she saw him.
Well,
she knows the secret now, okay, that she there was this great interview, Katie Kirk interviewed Betty White, and we played it earlier this week, and, you know, I give it up to Katie Kirk, she just point blank, and I think Betty White was like in her 88 or something at the time, and Katie asked her, "Are you afraid of dying?" You know, and she said, "No, my mother had a wonderful attitude about death." You just say, well, now they've gone on, and guess what, Betty? They know the secret. You know, and so she kind of made it like it was this adventure, and this, you know, it's the next thing, and we all get to do it, and none of us know what it is until it happens to us, so they know the secret. So,
if you've ever been with someone in their final days,
I have.
It's hard to know because there's usually morphine involved. But people do go through their lives and they are acting out and talking and saying things that
we just, you know, we don't know. Just like you said, it depends on how lucid. But Vicki Lawrence shared that story because, again, Betty White was in Mama's Family, a spinoff from Carol Burnett, and was on Carol Burnett. I mean, you know, I didn't feel like she was talking out of school. I think someone, people reached her and asked her for a comment. And she just said, oh, I heard, you know, she was at, died in her home, and it was kind of unexpected. So, and said, no, when she didn't, she hadn't just been vaccinated or boosted or something. But she said that her manager, must have been a very close friend, was with her, and he held her hand, and she just, her last word was Alan.
Oh,
this in, this just a quick second. Is of this, it? Dude. Okay. This is not the Alan part, but this is the secret part. Just a quick second.
Oh, not at all. My mother had the most wonderful outlook on death. She would always say, nobody knows. People think they do. You can believe whatever you want to believe what happens at that last moment. But nobody ever knows until it happens. But she said it's a secret. So all growing up, whenever we lose somebody, she'd always say, now they know the secret.
Oh, that is really nice.
Isn't it?
And it's nice to think that there is a secret. You know, that there's something. Because, I don't know, sometimes it can feel pretty bleak to think about that.
Oh, I always think of it as just, it's going to be something like amazing and magical.
Yeah. Oh, that's just so nice. Yeah. Gosh, that kind of chokes me up, Lori.
Yeah, me too, actually. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I have always thought that. And I think, you know, like, she really adored Alan Ledden. They were married for 18 years and he died, I want to say like in 81 or something. And she just never, and she would kind of laugh about it because she married a war, you know, during World War II, she married a guy. They were married for like 1 year and she found out, you know, it was just a wartime romance. She couldn't stand him. And then she married this other guy. And then she was just kind of, you know, single and had this kind of amazing career at CBS with her radio and television show. But she met Alan Ledden because she started to do, her manager had her do the game shows. And like he was kind of a cat in a half. He had that sort of the glasses and he had this debonair kind of, I don't know, loungy.
Yeah,
he had a debonair loungy, like he had BDE, I'm going to say.
I Alan bet he did. Ledden.
We had a lot of conversation yesterday about BDE that I'm still trying to recover from.
Yeah, but you know, it's just that instant lady boner that you have, or instant boner, I guess, that you have for somebody. When someone has that, like I was watching a clip of Anne Margaret and Elvis, because, you know, they were the love of each other's lives.
Yeah, and they had so much sexual chemistry.
And remember, her name was Rusty in Viva Las Vegas. And she always wore those black, like, pantyhose that had, like, an extra panty outside and then a turtleneck. And then, you know, they were pantyhose. And, I mean, it's still such a great sexy sex kitten look.
It is a good look.
It is a good
look. Those body suits with the...
And they loved each other. And, you know, but he had promised Priscilla's mom, because after all, Priscilla's mom and dad, even though her dad was like in the Air Force, I know my dad would not have allowed me as a 14-year-old to date a 21-year-old, even if it was Elvis.
No.
Because my mom would have elbowed me out of the way and she would have been in there. And but they allowed Elvis to quote unquote court Priscilla, and they were stationed at like Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. And he then at 16, or when he got out, maybe she's almost 17, she came and lived at Graceland and went to an all-girl Catholic school while she lived at the Graceland with Elvis at the age of 17.
Beyond.
And he promised that he would marry her.
Yeah.
And they did marry, and I do think he loved her, but he really loved Anne Margaret. And until he died, anytime she played Las Vegas or on her birthday, he would fill her dressing room with flowers. Aww. And Roger, Anne Margaret's husband, was fine with it.
He just knew.
Yeah. It was just like that once in a lifetime thing. Wrong timing for them.
Well, and your first love, I mean.
But no, they weren't each other's first love. They were like at they were both at the right time, right place, but he had this obligation to Priscilla.
Well, marriage.
But he wasn't married. I don't know that he was married to.
Okay.
He wasn't married to her yet, but he couldn't be with Anne Margaret because he had promised himself to Priscilla.
Okay.
You know?
Well, he had integrity, I guess, even though he was maybe a child stealer.
Yeah, you know, at different times. I don't know.
It was different times. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
My mom married her. She was pregnant and married her high school sweetheart who was. They went to the senior prom together, and my mom was a divorcee at the senior prom.
Oh, my word.
And pregnant.
Oh,
and
my
they
word.
Lived yeah. in the garage apartment of his family.
Yeah, it sounds like the scandal.
Yeah, it was a little scandalous.
It's scandalous because it was before birth control pill or right around then. I mean, it was like this. You were sexy and horny, and someone was talking you out of your
pants,
and it was like you could get pregnant and pull out. Does that work?
Did you ever remember the story of how Julia met my mom? And we were somewhere. Oh, it was when I was recovering from breast cancer.
Okay.
And my mom was in the room. Oh, my mom was in the room, and somehow her and Julia got into a conversation about sort of my mom's history and our sister Laura. And Julia looked at my mom and said, "Well, you were kind of slutty." And my mom's face was not amused.
Oh,
not at all.
Yeah.
Julia. And she always referred to Julia after that as your friend with no boundaries, Julia.
Oh, that's so funny.
And she liked our friend Lisa Timmick. She'd say, "I love your friend Lisa, but then there's your friend with no boundaries, Julia."
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was a judgy blurt. My goodness.
Mom's face. And I remember looking over at her and thinking, "Oh, this is going to be good." Yeah,
that's an inside voice. The mind voice.
Yeah, keep those thoughts to yourself.
Or you're super familiar with the person, or it's a good friend. Or, I don't know.
No,
just
but
my mom's
face. I totally shocked. Julia was so shocked at my family history. Like when I even just told her even just a tiny bit, because my it could be soap opera. It's got everything. It's got all kinds of dirt. I mean, it doesn't have incest or anything like that, but it's got every.
Well, she grew up in a commune. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, but her parents had a conventional, my parents did not have a conventional beginning. Nobody's parents were thrilled about my mom being pregnant junior in high school, my dad joining the Air Force and them getting married. Nobody was thrilled with that idea. People were scandalized. My mom couldn't wear a veil at the Lutheran church. Everybody knew they were pregnant. And that Larry, he stole your grandpa's car and they ran away to Mississippi the year before. Smoking cigarettes and
Bonnie and Clyde.
It was like really, and Julia's like, whoa, I said, my parents were like rebels.
Well, my mom ended up marrying the family therapist.
Oh, no, that's a really good
after
delightful.
Had an affair for
Let's
years.
Add that one into my family story when we write our soap opera.
So, yes,
we're
going to
need a few elements.
There's a caller called in to let you guys know there's a show called Surviving Death on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it goes, what happens? After you die, this docuseries explores the stories and research on near-death experiences, reincarnation, and paranormal
phenomena. We have been told to watch this before, that it's really quite good.
Surviving Death on Netflix. It came out in 2021, and the lady said that when you were talking about Betty White in her last words, she was like, this is something you want to check out.
All right, cool. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Listen, we come back. Remember a couple days ago, Grant, I told you, the Julia Fox era is upon us, and we've got a gossip couple off yesterday happening. Well, let me tell you, we had, I'm going to just call it a Hail Mary pass thrown last night as the next play in the couple off.
Yes, we did.
All right, we'll be right back. Just wanted to play that song. It just feels like a good Friday song.
Yeah, I like
it kind of fits with the. I'm going to call it Cinderella Celebrity Couple Off 2022. So let's just back up the bus and catch everybody up on this hot gossip. Okay, so gossip is giving us And you know who's mad about this? This is J-Lo and Ben, because we've not seen, you know what I mean?
It's They've been so out.
Out. We mm-hmm. haven't seen anything. So as Gossip is giving us this couple off to kick off 2022, Kanye West and Julia Fox have answered Kim's bikini and her trip to the Bahamas with Pete Davidson. I'm going to call this a Hail Mary. They didn't even do a strong forehand. They just threw the Hail Mary because he meets this woman, Julia Fox, who's got a great name, on New Year's Eve. Okay. That was just one long week ago. Okay. And they met in Miami. Then they went on a second date in New York City on Tuesday night, and they went to a play. And by Wednesday afternoon, you know, then our heads whipped to the other side of our head when Kanye or when Pete and you know, Kim showed up photographed in the Bahamas, and he's looking like, you know, just a Long Island guy in his socks and sandals. And she's not in a full body costume. She's like in holy jeans and cleavage. It probably felt so good to have air touch her skin again. You know,
she's out of her skin tight.
Yeah, she the knees are ripped at the jean. It's low slung. It's like a bathing suit. I'm like, oh, she's so happy to have skin because she's been clothed up
in bandages.
So anyway, and then you know, and in the Tuesday night photo we saw of the Julia Fox and Kanye, you know, she had a coat on, then a different coat, and then different pants, and then walked by the paparazzi to show she was ready because her G-string or song was riding very low on the behind her. And then her people put out the thing that, oh, hey, everybody, she was Pete Davidson's Barbie in his Ken layout in Paper Magazine 2 years ago. Just to, you know, there's another connection.
Draw the dots.
So the Hail Mary that Kanye and Julia Fox, who is very ready. I told you that, you guys. She's ready. Listen to this. I was screaming when I was reading this. So Julia, here's what they have: an exclusive interview essay in Interview Magazine. So this isn't People, this is Interview. This is a whole different, this is the New York, the cool vibe. You know what I mean, Grant?
It's like artsy.
And Julia Fox, who's ready, writing a brief but very detailed essay about how they met just 1 week ago on
Friday.
This
isn't an actual magazine interview, which is not a fly-by-night magazine.
No, and it's on interview.com. It broke last night.
Oh, gosh.
And she said, you know, she said she was impressed. He arrived at the start, but here it is. Okay, he arrived on time for this play, which I am too, because Kanye, like Mariah, I don't think he's punctual, but whatever. Here's what Julia Fox, she ready, wrote. At the restaurant, Ye directed an entire photo shoot for me.
Wait a second.
While people dined. Okay, no, I'm screaming. Listen.
This is like legit.
This is legit. The whole restaurant loved it and cheered us on while it was happening. After dinner, Ye had another surprise for me. I mean, I'm still in shock. Ye, she had to be told how many times to use
name. She keeps like,
calling. Am I pronouncing it right by calling it Yay?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay.
And Yay.
Yay had an entire hotel suite full of clothes. It was every girl's dream come true.
Oh.
It felt like a real Cinderella moment. I don't know how he did it or how he got it all there in time. But I was so surprised. Like, who does things like this on a second date or on any date?
Desperate men.
Everything has been so organic. I don't know.
Organic?
I know.
There's nothing organic about any of it.
Yeah, I don't know where things are headed, but if this is any indication of the future, I'm loving the ride.
And a ride it is.
I am screaming. Are you screaming? I imagine being in that restaurant while Kanye directs a bunch of a photo shoot around his new muse while people are just trying to have their carbonara.
Yeah,
exactly. He took her to the restaurant that Kim's favorite place in New York.
Okay.
Okay. And of course, it's a Cinderella moment because Kanye's whole hot boyfriend thing. He thinks he's there to Cinderella.
He's up. There, Svengali.
But he's Cinderella-ing that up. And he did do that with Kim.
Yeah.
He did. And
what
he,
do you call that? You have a word for that where they swoop in and they.
Well, love bombing,
yeah,
for
the
sure.
Love
but
bomb.
He's like, you know, he'd made Kim. I remember she talked about it. He made her give away everything in her wardrobe before he met her.
Yeah, it's all very weird.
It's all very weird.
He's so controlling.
Who it's does weird. That? It's a rich weirdo is yeah, who does it's it. A, it's okay, a, that's who does it, yeah. Julia Fox. It's a rich weirdo.
But she's along for the ride. She might need the publicity. She's trying to be something.
Are you kidding me? She's so right. I mean, he's flexing his ego. Then the three photos, they're posed photos. One of them, he's in his rubber snowman Yeezy boots. I mean, he just, I, when women think of romantically making out with someone in a school hallway, it's not that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
At all. That's not the fantasy. And then there's one where they're in a closet surrounded by all the clothes he picked out for her. And she's on top of him, but covering him. And so the most prominent thing you see is her butt and that she's very much straddling him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I want to do, I mean, yeah, that's, I'll tell you who does that. A rich weirdo with major control issues.
Who's trying to make his ex-wife jealous? You forgot that part.
But the bigger question is, how will Chris and Kim fire back?
It'll happen next week.
This is what makes this so great. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
that's
we posted
really
that.
Gave
when... we posted the essay and the photos. Oh, you'll scream. It's the funniest thing ever. So obvious. Such a Hail Mary. So early in the game.
Yeah.